Jesus Christ to list the first Sunday after Trinity. As I have explained to most of you as you came in, I'm not sure if I have allergies or a cold, but I have a fever that seems to come and go, so I'm not sure what those kind of symptoms mean. However, for the distribution and for Holy Communion, instead of me handing the host to each person, I would ask you then to just take the host off the paten, and that means my hands won't be touching anything and passing germs on to you. We begin our service then today with the singing of hymn 250. Holy God, we praise thy name and in honor of our triune God. We stand for the last stanza and then remain standing as we begin our liturgy on page 15 of the fourth part of our hymn.
Merciful Father, I am poor miserable.
witness them by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. O Lord, I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Chapter of St. John's first letter, beginning at the 16th verse. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in it. By this, love is perfected with us, that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. So far the epistle lesson. We now rise to speak the gradual responsibly out of the conclusion, sing the triple Alleluia. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord,
and the humble shall hear and rejoice.
O magnify the Lord with me,
and let us exalt his name together.
I sought the Lord, and he answered me,
and delivered me from all my fears.
They looked to him and were radiant. O taste and see that the Lord is good. O fear the Lord, all you his saints. The young lions do mock and suffer hunger. O Lord, deal with your servant according to your mercy and teach me your statutes. Chapter of St. Luke, beginning at the 19th verse.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Jesus said, Now there was a certain rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, gaily living in splendor every day. And a certain poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores, and longing to be fed with crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking Lazarus' sores. Now it came about that the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man died and he was buried. And in Hades the rich man lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. And the rich man cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in the flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember during your life you received good things, and likewise Lazarus bad things. But now he is being comforted, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great chasm fixed, in order that those who wish to come over from here to you may not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us. And the rich man said, Then I beg you, Father, that you should send to him my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, lest they also come to this place of torment. But Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. But the rich man said, No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But Abraham said to the rich man, If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone rises from the dead. Here ends the Holy Gospel. Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed, printed atop page 22 of the fourth part of our hymnal.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, now of God, light of life, very God, very God, begotten, not made,
And now continue with our next hymn, 429, Lord, Thee I Love With All My Heart.
Thank you.
by God the Father and preserved in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, grace, mercy, and love be multiplied unto you. Amen. We from John's first letter, which was read earlier. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides. We love because he first loved us. So far the text. Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You know, it's June, and traditionally this is the month when many weddings take place. And June and weddings and all speak about love. You know, I may have used this illustration once before. There's a story of a young man who was trying to woo his beloved. And he was telling his fiancée, he said that every night he would read her. He would read poetry to her. He would serenade her with love ballads. When they dined, it would be by candlelight. He would climb mountains for and swim the vastest oceans. And she heard all of this, and she finally said, "Well, you know, that's very nice, but will you wash the dishes?" Love can be a fuzzy kind of emotion. You know, I think it's kind of like Barney, the purple dinosaur that dances across the PBS screen and tells children, "I love you and you love me." But you know, for love to be genuine, it has to be put into action. It has to wash the dishes. For example, when we go to a nice restaurant, the waiter and the waitresses, the food is served, and after eating, the dishes are all taken away, and everything is nice. But were we to go into the kitchen, it would be a different story. There, everything is hot and steamy, and at the back is the dishwasher. He's the fellow who makes sure that all the grime is washed from all the dishes, so when they are served, they become clean and sparkling. He's the low man on the totem pole. Generally, it's a minimum wage work. No glory and certainly no contact with the public. But you know, the dishes have to be washed. If we read the Apostle John's, and because all of these references to love, John is sometimes spoken of as the Apostle. But when John speaks about love, he isn't speaking about the love of a purple, funny, fuzzy dinosaur. His love has to do more with the love that John speaks about is the love which comes Jesus is our Lord and Savior. He's the one who did the dirty job that no one ever else could do or would do, die for our sins. He didn't receive a minimum wage, but he paid the maximum price. And because of his death and resurrection, we are washed clean from our sins, washed clean to be able to stand before God without fear, and to be moved to love like Jesus loved us. And that brings me to my sermon theme for this morning, love in action. And I'll speak about this in three parts. First, love in the world. Secondly, love casts out fear. And thirdly, we love because Jesus first loved us. You know, there is love in the world. And because God is love, in addition to being holy and just and righteous and merciful, that love is shown in creation. In creation, God spoke, and our world came into existence. And it wasn't the product of ordered. God. They were created to love with the capacity to because God had cared for them. God had created. And sin not only sets itself against God, but generally thinks it knows better than God. It measures good and evil in terms of itself, of egocentricity, rather than what God calls good and evil. It doesn't seek for forgiveness, but rather tries to seek out excuses. It doesn't seek responsibility, but seeks to shift the blame. Sin means that the relationship between God and man was ruptured. But more than that, it means that the relationship between people was ruptured, and the relationship between man and his kind was shattered. Now, love still resides in us. I think it would be silly to say, well, people don't love, you know, in this way. Well, that's just nonsense. People do love. People love in all sorts of ways, in good ways and bad ways. But our love, apart from Christ, no longer reflects God's perfect love, the love that now, because of the fall into sin, has been warped by sin itself. We live in a world in which there is love, but that love often falls short of what God expects, but what we as human beings also expect as well. Teenagers profess love for one another, but more often it's just kind of a cloak for lust. You know, a recent study from Great Britain looked at a survey that indicated that 40% of British women are at some time during their marriage unfaithful. And so the study concluded there must be a genetic predisposition to unfaithfulness. There's got to be an unfaithfulness gene. Well, I don't know about... Actually, I do know about that. That's just hooey. And I would suspect that basically the same percentage of men are unfaithful. And that reflects the fact that both men and women are tainted with sin. Think about sacrificial love among humans, for example. Even here, the record is less than stellar, and those whom we call saints often walk with clay feet. Albert Schweitzer was a great medical missionary. He was a kind of Lutheran. But his private journal, and all he did marvels there. His private journals thought that blacks were slightly less than human and conducted experiments on them that even in his day would be termed unethical. Mother Teresa cared for the dying untouchables in Calcutta, but to raise money she associated with dictators and other undesirables. Again, sin raises its ugly head. Of marriage, where love should express in a selfish manner, there we see sin raise its ugly head as well. People who profess love to one another until death do us part oftentimes find that they can fall out of love as easily as falling in love. You know, we don't have to look at movie stars or reality TV show stars, some of whose marriages can be measured in weeks instead of years. But if we look around us, the divorce statistics speak for themselves. The effects of sin undermine our society. And even within our own lives, the love that we show one another often falls short of what we expect. Is our love always patient? Is our love always kind? Is our love sometimes jealous? Does our love sometimes keep a tally of the wrongs that are done to us? Does our love sometimes laugh at the misfortune of others in German Schadenfreude? Does our love sometimes what is best for us instead of what is best for the other? If in any degree we answer yes, then unfortunately we see sin at work in our lives. Love exists in our world, but it is a far cry from what God intended. Love is often distorted by selfishness, itself the product of sin, So if we want to know about love, we have to look to God. Why he sent Jesus into our world. And in Jesus we see that love casts out fear. John says perfect love casts out fear. And we have to ask ourselves questions. Why? Answer to these two questions go hand in hand. The fear about which John speaks is the fear of punishment on the day of judgment. And this is the fear that afflicts all people, even though many would even deny that there is a last judgment and deny that how could a God of love punish them for being a bit less than perfect? People misread the scriptures when they say that because God is love, he will never punish anyone on the last day, the day of judgment. To believe in this is to believe that God's love is a warm feeling that accepts everything, kind of like Barney the dinosaur. I love you, you love me. But also it defines love from a human standpoint rather than the standpoint of God. And that's a big mistake. God's love is indeed love. But the love of God is perfectly revealed in his Son, Jesus Christ. And in Jesus we see God's love in action. This is the love of both will and action rather than emotion. This is the love for the loveless which drove Jesus to the cross. You know, in 2004, President Bush spoke in Normandy in France at the commemoration of the D-Day landings of 1944. In his speech, he quoted Jesus' words in the Gospel of John, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. President Bush was speaking on the American War Day. But as President Bush was speaking, he could have also been speaking about all the others who laid down their life for their friends. And he could have been speaking about the Germans, the British, the Canadians, the Australians, the New Zealanders, the Commonwealth troops, the Poles, you name it. As a matter of fact, when you interview those who have been in combat, you will find that basically they're fighting for their buddies. They're fighting for the men with whom they trained and now they went into combat with. But Jesus just didn't lay down his life for his friends. He laid down his life for his enemies as well. And God's love has a purpose. And that purpose is to win forgiveness for sinners, to pay the price sin demands, to make payment to God for sin. And that's why Jesus went to the cross. And he rose from the dead to show the world that the Lord of life, in whose name forgiveness is to be preached to all nations. That death and that resurrection was God's way of providing for all people, including you and me, a means of escape from the wrath that is to come on the last day. Apart from Jesus, all will stand condemned before God's justice. But God was unwilling for anyone to perish, so he sent his Son to die and win forgiveness for us while we were yet sinners, while we were yet enemies. The love of God, which is shown to us in Christ, then permits us, without fear, to face the day when Jesus will come to judge the quick and the dead. And on that great and terrible day, we will not stand alone, but we will stand before the judgment seat of God with Christ at our side and as our advocate. Right now, Jesus is the one who makes intercession for us. He is the one who has washed us in his blood in our baptism and continues to wash us from all sins as we make confession to him. He is the one who has given us to eat of his true body and blood to forgive us our sins and to strengthen us in our fight against sin, death, and the devil. He is the one who has shown us that these are truly defeated enemies, and he is the one who shows us that we can love because he loves us first. God so loved his fallen creation that he gave Adam and Eve a promise that he would send a Savior. And it is in Jesus what we see that promise take on our flesh and live for us. He lived and he died showing us God's love. And indeed, he shows us what love really is. God's love comes from a forgiving nature. When Jesus forgave sin, he did not do so that people might continue in sin. He forgave sin so that people might become alive to God and alive for each other. He forgave us so that God's Spirit might live in those forgiven to make them alive to forgiveness and to love. This is the love which doesn't hate. It's the love which shares love in Christ to share even with one's enemies. In the Sermon on the Mount, we hear Jesus speak, "You have heard that it was said that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute against you, in order that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Don't even the taxpayers do the same thing? And if you greet your brothers only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore you are to be perfect, even as your heavenly Father is to be perfect." It is only by being forgiven that we can even attempt to begin to love our enemies. And if this is done half-heartedly, just going through the motions, we're not done at all. It is sin. Why would that be? Listen again to Jesus' concluding words. "Therefore you are to be perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect." I'm not perfect, and I'm gonna go out on a ledge, and I'm going to bet that no one else here this morning is perfect either. If we don't love perfectly, we sin. And thus, Jesus forgives us our sin, not as a way out, but rather as a strength so that we do not need to fear to try the love the way he loved, a love that even finally went to the cross. If we fear, shall we even try? But Jesus has conquered death and gives us life, life in the face of our enemies, so that we need not fear even loving them. You know, if we are sinned against, we don't need to stew and fret and figure out how to get even. We leave how to get even, vengeance, up to God. And in the meantime, we have been free to love and share the gospel of Christ. We may find rejection, but you know something? Jesus found rejection as well. And what was Jesus' response to the rejection that he found? He kept loving, and he kept going up to Jerusalem, up to the cross. It is only in Jesus that we see God's perfect love in action. This is the love that quite literally washes the dishes. It washes us free from our sins. This is the love which seeks out the lost in order that they may realize that they no longer stand condemned before God, but forgiven. And God's love in Jesus has a purpose, to win for us the forgiveness of sins. God's love alive in our hearts has a purpose as well, to reflect the love that has first been shown to us in Christ. We have been forgiven so that we need not fear failure and be paralyzed into an action from even trying. We have been forgiven to show people what love really is, by pointing to Christ. We have been forgiven to bring the message of reconciliation into a world which is dying, and to know what true love is, the love which went to the cross to pay for our sins. We have been forgiven so that we may reach out even to our enemies, even as Christ has reached out to us. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
now turn to page 22 of the four-part of our hymnal, and we sing the offertory. At the conclusion, we shall receive the offering. Rise for prayer. We give thee but thine own, whatever the gift may be, all that we have is thine alone, the trust of the Lord from thee. Amen. O Lord, King eternal, who upholds all things by the word of your power, we give you our most heartfelt thanks for all your mercies which you have showered upon us. Most of all, we thank you for your great love and for the priceless gifts which you have given us in Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, whom you sent to accomplish our salvation. Accept our thanks and praise for the forgiveness of our sins through him, for our deliverance from the power of death and the devil, and for the promise of life everlasting. Since you have first loved us, O Lord, so let us love you and your word. Teach us always to be guided by the precepts of the Holy Scriptures. Move us through the joy of the gospel to live our lives in obedience to your commandments. And as we wrestle against the powers of spiritual darkness and all our temptations, give us the strength of faith, the faith, courage we need to win the victory of faith. Help us to meet every test of our love and faithfulness, and save us by your mercy. Dear Lord, we ask that you would bless the nations of the world with the peace of the gospel of Christ, and we especially seek your blessing for our own land. Do away with vain ambition, abuse of power, immorality, and every hurtful thing. Let righteousness prevail so that our people may live in mutual peace and respect. Let the sunshine of your love descend upon all our homes, and grant that our children may be brought up in thankful devotion to you. We would ask that you would look with mercy and kindness upon those in our midst and those whom we know are ill. Let your hand of healing be upon them to give them that healing needful for body, soul, and spirit, and bless those in the medical arts who attend them. To this end, we especially remember Nancy, Roy, Gerald, Cindy, Jean, Marlene, Don, Linda, Carla, Kurt, Rose, our neighbor Sue, Carolyn's friend Sue, Don, Richard, Ruth Shoyer, James, Chloe, and Dagny, Pastor Presa, and those whose names are in our hearts which we lift up unto you now. We ask that you would be with those who have been called is either a pastor or a teacher in our synod, and be with the congregations and schools who are calling. Give them all an extra measure of your Holy Spirit so that they may best see where their talents lie in congregations and schools and not lose heart during their vacancy. We would ask that you would look upon our land and send that rain which is needful and snow to the Sierras. We would ask that you would also be with those who are driving to services this day and set thy holy angels over them and grant them a safe journey. And be with our efforts to help those in need in Nepal, to touch our hearts so that we may help as well. Grant all these petitions, O Lord, and whatsoever we ask in the depths of our heart for the sake of him who died, so that we might always live for you. In his name we pray. Amen. We now continue with our communion service, which begins in the middle of page 24, the fourth part of our hymn. The Lord be with you. And the unity and substance of majesty come equal. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
Thank you. altars are now ready, God's holy things for God's holy people. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Christ's blood for you. Christ's blood for you. Christ's blood for you. Christ's blood for you. This is the true blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of sins. Now may the speeding and dreading of the true body and blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ keep, strength, and preserve you the one true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. The Lord Christ, whom you have all forgiven us, the mighty kindness of God and others. Salutary gift.
having beseeched thee that of thy mercy thou would strengthen us through the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever the one true God, world without end. Son, and of the Holy Ghost.